As we continue our study in the book of Genesis, we're still in the 27th chapter, and last time we'd gotten into the 25th verse. And the context for this passage is that Isaac has decided he's going to give the blessing to Esau. And of course, we know that this is not what God wanted. It's not what God prophesied would happen. And Rebekah knew it wasn't what God wanted, and evidently Isaac too knew. But he wanted to give it to Esau anyway because Esau was his favorite. So when he decided to do this, one day he approached Esau and told him to go out to the field, kill a deer, and prepare me this savory venison so we can have a feast, and I'm going to give you the blessing. Well, Rebekah overheard this. It wasn't intended that she hear it on the part of Isaac. Isaac was doing this in secret, but Rebekah overheard it. And immediately then she set about to thwart this plan. She had Jacob to go out and kill two kids so she could prepare the meat like the savory venison that Isaac liked. She put the skins, goat skins, on Jacob's hand and neck. And they prepared this plan to go in and deceive Isaac so Isaac would give the blessing to Jacob instead of to Esau. This was an elaborate and daring plan, but it worked. They were able to successfully deceive Isaac. Although Isaac was fairly suspicious, he recognized this as Jacob's voice. He said it was Jacob's voice, but when he touched the hairy hand, then this convinced him that this was maybe Esau after all. And so in verse 25 it says, "And he said, bring it near to me, and I will eat of my son's venison, that my soul may bless thee. And he brought it near to him, and he did eat, and he brought him wine, and he drank." Isaac was finally convinced that it was Esau, and so he partook of the meal and was prepared to give his blessing to him. When he said, "That my soul may bless thee," it should be noted that the word soul is the Hebrew word nephesh, N-E-P-H-E-S-H, and it refers to the mind and heart or the consciousness of man. And this just simply shows that the person making this statement had a very deep feeling about the action he was going to undertake. At this point, of course, we naturally wonder about the action that Jacob and Rebekah took here. I mean, several of these statements that were made are openly and intentionally false statements. You have to say that Jacob was lying and had his mother's blessing because she commanded him to do it. In one of these statements, he claimed that God had actually brought him the game unusually quickly, and it seemed to actually be associating God's own name with this lie. And so this would even seem to be taking God's name in vain, in addition to the sin of lying. And we also wonder, why is it that God did not rebuke Jacob or cause Isaac to withhold the blessing from him? Or even after Isaac had blessed him, why did God later confirm the blessing? We shall see later that Isaac, in chapter 28, fully recognizes that Jacob should have the blessing, and he cooperates with it in every way, telling him that he should not marry a Canaanite woman, and being very involved in him selecting the right wife. We see also in chapter 28 that God fully recognizes that Jacob had the blessing and fully blessed him with it. So the question is, why did Rebekah and Jacob lie? Was it a justifiable thing for them to lie? No doubt they thought that the means here justified the ends, that they were committing a sin, all right, but it was a lesser evil than the evil of letting the wrong person get the blessing, of letting Isaac go through this thing of blessing Esau when Esau was not the person intended to have it. Esau was not qualified to have it. Esau, with his Canaanite wives, would not have been the appropriate person to have his seed become the promised seed, or the promised line of the seed. These Canaanite wives were not fit to be the mothers of those that would be the seed that would lead to Christ. And so that's no doubt was their reasoning. However, we're here kind of caught in the middle. We, on the one hand, want to be careful that we not be too quick to condemn Jacob and Rebekah for what they did. But on the other hand, we don't want to be too quick to condone what they did and end up by saying, well, sometimes it's all right to lie if the means justify the ends, or if it's a lesser sin instead of a greater sin. That's not right either. It's not our place to do this. The point is, the Bible doesn't say for sure that they were condemned. It doesn't say for sure that they were completely exonerated in what they did. It's just that we don't read of God giving a rebuke for them doing this. We do read of God accepting this fact that Jacob should have had the blessing and the birthright. But God could have worked this out without the actions of Rebekah and Jacob. He could have done this without them having to lie. He could have done a number of things that would have brought about his will. And so it may be that they didn't even have to do this at all for this to happen. But just because the Bible is silent doesn't mean that we can read a lot of things into this, in my opinion. So we need to say that it was a lie. It was a deception. It was done purposely to deceive Isaac and cause him to do something he didn't intend to do. This happened. And it is a sin. It's wrong. And if we do it, it'll be wrong for us. And we cannot use this as a precedent or as an example for us to do likewise. We have no right to take this example of Rebekah and Jacob in their lie and use that as a reason for us to do likewise. Just as we have no right to take the example of Sarah when she had Abraham go into her handmaid Hagar and have a child by Hagar. We have no right to do that just because they did it. It was wrong. There were great consequences because of it. Consequences our world is still even facing today because of it. And so this does not justify our doing it, and we cannot fully justify them doing it. We just speak where the Bible speaks, remain silent where the Bible is silent, and say they did this act. It was a lie. It was a deception. They did it. They brought about a certain result with it, and it was actually the result that God wanted, but God could have had the result without their deception, without their lie. They acted on their own. God didn't tell them to do this. God didn't come to them in any kind of vision, say, you've got to intercede now. They felt on their own behalf that they must take action, and they took the action. So the Bible tells it like it is. We report it like it is. We read it for what it is, and do not want to read too much into this to condone or to condemn. That's already been done by God. It's already been taken care of. And so our place is to say, when we know a certain thing is a sin, we do not want to commit the sin. So since we do not condone nor condemn, we simply will accept the action and the results that it brought about. There are some expositors that go to great lengths to try to justify what Rebekah and Jacob did. There are others that go to great lengths to condemn them for what they did. And it's not our place to do that. So we'll accept it for what it is, and we all know the result of it was that Jacob got the blessing. Jacob was intended to have the blessing, and he would become the head of the family that would then be the line to lead down to the promised Messiah. While the festive meal was being completed, while Isaac was eating of the savory meat that he wanted to eat of, no doubt Jacob and Rebekah were waiting on pins and needles. They were afraid Esau would return before the blessing had been given. Well, after the meal was over, Isaac beckoned to Jacob to come near and to kiss him. And Isaac was going to do something now that was a very solemn occasion. The nature of what he was going to do was to pronounce the blessing. He was going to have his son to receive the covenant promises and blessings from God. And his son, in turn, would be responsible for transmitting these blessings and implementing these blessings in his own family until the ultimate promised seed would come. And so this was a very solemn occasion. We have to believe that God was also here, who had made his own solemn covenant with Abraham, and he'd renewed this covenant with Isaac. We believe that God was certainly present on this occasion. And so we wonder what would have happened had the blessing been given to Esau, if Esau were standing there rather than Jacob, and we can only guess. But it surely seems likely that it would have resulted in some kind of tragedy for both father and son. God's solemn promises and covenants are not to be given out as trifles. They're not to be used subject to the whim and prejudices of the individual. So we read verses 26 through 29. And his father Isaac said unto him, Come near now and kiss me, my son. And he came near and kissed him, and he smelled the smell of his raiment, and blessed him, and said, See, the smell of my son is as the smell of a field which the Lord hath blessed. Therefore God give thee of the dew of heaven, and the fatness of the earth, and plenty of corn and wine. Let people serve thee, and nations bow down to thee. The Lord be over thy brethren, and let thy mother's sons bow down to thee. Cursed be every one that curseth thee, and blessed be he that blesseth thee. As Jacob came near for Isaac to give him the kiss, Isaac was able to smell the smell of the raiment that he had on, which was actually Esau's raiment. And he could smell the smell of the outdoors. He said, See, the smell of my son is as the smell of a field which the Lord hath blessed. As Esau would brush by the blossoms and leaves of various plants, this smell was on his raiment. And this reminded Isaac of the thing that he really liked about Esau, was the fact that Esau was an outdoors person, a sports person, and Isaac probably relived his own desires to do this through Esau. However, this wasn't Esau. This was Jacob who was receiving the blessing, just wearing Esau's raiment. And then the blessing falls into three parts. The first part, he blesses him with material things. He says, Therefore God give thee of the dew of heaven, and the fatness of the earth, and plenty of corn and wine. So he was going to be well blessed with the material things of this life. Plenty to eat, a good production from the earth, and what he calls here the dew of heaven. So he would be well fortified with temporal blessings. The second part of his blessing has to do with his family and the line of the promised seed. Verse 29 says, Let people serve thee, and nations bow down to thee. Be Lord over thy brethren, and let thy mother's sons bow down to thee. So he was to have the power now, in a political sense, with the power, with the family, being able to have nations to bow down to him, actually. The third part of the blessing is where he says, Cursed be everyone that curseth thee, and blessed be he that blesseth thee. Here he is told that he would have the protection of God. And of all the blessings that we can have, that is one of the greatest ones that can be, for God to be with us, God to protect us from those that might want to do us some kind of harm. And this is really the same kind of blessing that God gave to Abraham, and then it was transmitted to Isaac. Now Isaac's transmitting it to his son. The great irony here, though, is that as Isaac gives this blessing, he is presuming that he is giving it to Esau. And Esau is not the one that should be receiving this. He says, Be Lord over thy brethren, and let thy mother's sons bow down to thee. This is in direct opposition to God's statement, The elder shall serve the younger, Genesis 25:23. So Isaac is deliberately doing something here that is opposite to what God wanted. He thinks it's opposite to God wanted, but actually he is giving it to the right person. It's just that he does not know that he's doing that. And what a great conflict it would have been. What a great misdirection it would have been. What a great negative force it would have been if this had really been Esau receiving this blessing, in which Isaac was saying that he should have Jacob to bow down and serve him. That's not the way God intended for it to be at all. But in any case, he did pronounce the blessing. He did so under the inspiration of God, even though he himself was trying to thwart the will of God as he was speaking. And just so, many years later, the prophet Balaam was forced to bless Israel, even against his will, Numbers 23:11-12. In Jesus' day, likewise, the high priest spoke prophetically of the meaning of Jesus' death, though he himself did not understand the real import of what he was saying in John 11:49-52. The blessing which by God's command should have gone to Jacob was indeed pronounced by his father to Jacob. And that's the way it really should have been. Now we read verses 30 through 33. And it came to pass, as soon as Isaac had made an end of blessing Jacob, and Jacob was yet scarce gone out from the presence of Isaac, his father, that Esau, his brother, came in from his hunting. And he also had made savory meat, and brought it unto his father, and said unto his father, Let my father arise, and eat of his son's venison, that thy soul may bless me. And Isaac, his father, said unto him, Who art thou? And he said, I am thy son, thy firstborn Esau. And Isaac trembled very exceedingly and said, Who? Where is he that hath taken venison and brought it me, and I have eaten of all before thou camest, and have blessed him? Yea, and he shall be blessed. Just as Jacob left Isaac's presence after he received the blessing, immediately Esau arrives on the scene. So we see here the fine timing of this situation. Maybe God did have a hand in this so that the timing worked out so perfectly. We can see how the urgency of the case from Jacob's standpoint. He had to have everything work out just right in order for Esau not to come in before the blessing had been given. Now, had Esau arrived before the blessing was completed, no doubt that would have interrupted things and Isaac would have reversed his position. And though he despised his birthright enough to sell it to Jacob, and though he had no real interest in the spiritual aspects of the blessing, Esau did understand enough about it to realize that this blessing would include political and military superiority for himself and for his children, and he no doubt had enough belief and faith in God to know that God's word in this respect would be fulfilled had he actually received the blessing. This feature of the blessing he wanted most earnestly, but he didn't get it. When he approached his father with the venison, however, he was surprised to hear his father asking, Who art thou? He said, Well, I'm Esau, of course, your oldest son. The father sent him on an errand. Why was he surprised when he had completed the errand? Then it began to dawn on Isaac what had happened. He answered in a hesitating way, But if you are Esau, who was it who had just brought me venison and received my blessing? Yes, who indeed? The truth suddenly came home to Isaac like a mighty blast here, that in spite of all of his intentions, God had overruled, and he had blessed Jacob instead of Esau. Furthermore, he realized that he had been deceived by his beloved wife and his faithful son, and this deception was in order to prevent him from doing what he knew he had no right to do. God had spoken through him in spite of himself, so he told Esau, Jacob has received the blessing, and he shall be blessed. This was clear to the will of God. There was nothing he could do to change that. He tried to change it. He tried to give the blessing to the other son, but evidently God had stopped him. As the very impact of these thoughts came over him, Isaac trembled very exceedingly, the Bible says. Some of the scholars tell us that the original language is exceedingly graphic. Something like Isaac trembled most excessively with a great trembling. Emotions of all sort overwhelmed him. He no doubt had a feeling of anger with Jacob. He had a concern over Esau. He had grief over Rebekah's act. And he had resentment at having his own plans thwarted. All of these could have contributed to his trembling. And he may have had more other thoughts besides these that had bothered him. And far more than any of these thoughts, though, he quickly came to see that God himself had spoken to him in judgment and that he had been on the brink of great danger to have ignored the will of God as much as he did here. He betrayed the trust of his father Abraham and had practically destroyed his own home all because of this appetite that he had for the venison and the great feeling he had for his son's physical exploits. He'd been misguided into the values of life that are not the most valuable things. These temporal, carnal things, these exploits of the hunter, of the sportsman, are not as important as the spiritual things are. These thoughts, and who knows what other thoughts he may have had, flooded upon him, and so indeed it was enough to make a man exceedingly quake and shake. Isaac was definitely shaken here as a result of what had happened. Just as though we had barely been missed by being struck by a speeding automobile and seen that our life was just almost snuffed out, but yet we had had a near miss. And so it is here with Isaac. Isaac had a near miss. He tried to give the blessing to the wrong son, but his plans were thwarted, and this was really for the best in the long run. Now let us read verses 34 through 36. And when Esau heard the words of his father, he cried with a great and exceeding bitter cry and said unto his father, Bless me, even me also, O my father. And he said, Thy brother came a subtilty and hath taken away thy blessing. And he said, Is not he rightly named Jacob? for he has supplanted me all these 2 times. He took away my birthright, and behold, now he has taken away my blessing. And he said, hast not thou reserved a blessing for me? Esau was momentarily stunned as he watched what had just happened, as he realized what had taken place. Then the truth dawned upon him as well as it has on Isaac, and he also gave vent to his emotions. He cried with a great and exceeding bitter cry. But perhaps his father could bless him anyway, he suddenly thought. Since he hadn't really intended to bless Jacob, why couldn't he simply just take back his words, retract those statements, and bless his older son as he'd intended to do? No human group, no human court would force a contract required by deception like that, so why should Isaac and why should God enforce that contract? But Isaac could not change it now, even if he wanted to, and he realized this now. Hardly knowing how to explain all this to Esau, he simply blamed Jacob for a bitter deception which robbed Esau of his intended blessing. Esau bitterly recalled that Jacob had already taken away his birthright. Of course, he conveniently forgot that at the time he despised his birthright. And now he complained he had likewise taken away his blessing. We're not sure whether Esau knew, like Isaac and Rebekah, how that God had decreed that Jacob should have the blessing, that he should be the one to rule over Esau. The scripture doesn't say that Esau knows this, but it does not seem very likely that such an important matter could have been kept secret from him by his mother for about 75 years. So we see here the reaction that Esau has. He is bitterly disappointed. He is shocked at this great plan that Isaac had had for him to receive the blessing, and his great desire to receive the blessing had been now thwarted. It hadn't taken place. He had missed it. He had lost it. And he has a reaction that we can expect. He was really very upset about it. Well, we must conclude our lesson at that point. In our next lesson, we'll begin with this 36th verse of the 27th chapter of Genesis. Till next time, this is N.C. Crouch saying goodbye, friends.